you know, I start with values. And, you know, for me, understanding a conscious, subconscious, and unconscious continuum, the conscious continuum is the data points that we receive through our senses every day. The subconscious continuum is 40,000 of the thoughts that we've stored from that data input that have created actual biochemical neural pathways within our own brains to create efficiencies, effectiveness, and statistical success. But what most people don't talk about, which I find essential, is how does our subconscious mind, those thoughts that come to us right before we go to sleep or when we wake up, or that little chattering that holds us back or hopefully encourages us at times as well, you know, how does that speak to our quantum nature? And what is our quantum nature? Our quantum nature is our DNA. It's a program. And we're programmed, proven by science from four generations down. So our great grandparents, grandparents, parents to us, have programmed, certain types of potentials that we have. Some are activated through an epigenetic layer of the DNA, and some are lying fallow right now that have superpowers in containment. And we have to figure out how do we activate those superpowers within our personality traits, our characteristics, our obsessions and addictions that may, yet not scientifically proven, be handed down from multiple lifetimes beyond four just generations that we can scientifically prove. And so for me, I want to control that continuum. I want to control the data that comes in through my conscious. I want to control the subconscious thoughts that speak to and activate my own quantum potential, the true potential, the higher self, the greater enlightenment, the greater awareness that I have within the context of my being, my mind, my body, and my soul. And so it all stems from understanding what you started with is what we're paying attention to. What are we paying attention to? Then by adding in our intention, what we think, say, do, believe, and even these unconscious competencies of our personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions, when we aggregate those together, we actually have a power to create the coincidences in our lives. And so what do we have control of? The number one thing you have control of is your mindset. And I don't think enough people spend enough time giving themselves enough credit that they have complete control of their mindset. You, Samantha, and everyone else out there, give meaning to everything you see. You give meaning to everything you see. Is pain to you a stop sign telling you no more, I can't take it, it's time to quit? Or is it a turn signal telling you, hey, you have a lesson to learn. Let me show you a better way to go, a better place to be, a better situation. These are all things that sit within the context of what only we have control of in our lives, the way that we see. And that's why those values are so important, because gratitude is the steering wheel of our perception. Gratitude is the steering wheel of our mindset. It tells us, hey, why don't we find the light, the love, and the lessons in everything? Let's not find the void, shortages, and obstacles. Let's not vote for what other people want for us. Let's not vote for what's missing in our lives. Let's not vote for what we don't want in our lives. We actually can vote for and put intention and attention in what we want, according to our values. And gratitude's the steering wheel of perception, of mindset. Forgiveness is very important as well. And I used to tell people, forgiveness is so important because it represented empathy. And empathy to me gave me peace. And I think empathy is overused, and they're naming wines after it and drinks. And people talk about empathy, which is still more powerful than sympathy, right? You cannot feel bad enough to make someone feel good. You can't be poor enough to make someone rich. But for me, forgiveness not only brings peace in our life, clears away the interferences, void, shortages, and obstacles, but what I've learned through 2020 is forgiveness gives certainty. And so many people during this pandemic have talked about these great times of uncertainty. Well, I call BS on that. There's always uncertainty. In fact, if anyone out there is listening and you know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, please call me. I know how to make billions of dollars, not only for us, but for charity. So my lifetime, in several lifetimes that I've studied, there hasn't been any certainty to the future. But forgiveness is the closest thing that brings certainty to our lives, because if we can learn to forgive the unforgivable, clear the interference that not only exists between us and this great source of light, love, and lessons that we steer our way through with gratitude, but more importantly, through the connectivity that we have with everything else in the universe, all the other people, ideas, and situations. If we can clear that through forgiveness, a tree then truly has no branches. One branch should not go to war with another branch. In fact, I'm trying to encourage people to appreciate the similarities that we all have throughout the entire world of humanity, but also through forgiveness, learn to appreciate the differences. And then finally, through our mindset, we have control by being accountable. Now, I'm a lawyer, a recovering lawyer, so I never really practiced law. My mom, she had a saying, doctor, lawyer, failure. So I had to take the bar before I became an entrepreneur and got involved in the internet in my early 20s. But nonetheless, I always had a struggle with accountability because I confused liability with accountability. Right? Liability still goes to blame, shame, and justification. It's dictated by statutes and common law and other areas where we can say you're at fault. But the bigger picture, no matter what's occurring in my life that gives me complete control of my mindset, is simply accountability. What did I do to attract this to myself? And what am I supposed to learn from it? Once again, tying back to the lessons, life is about lessons. The lessons will keep on coming until we learn them. Pain will indicate that we have a lesson to learn. And the greatest thing about lessons that I know is we will forget every lesson that I've ever taught or ever learned, but I have the power to access that lesson at any time and remember, reconnect, recollect, all of those words, right? Reunite with the truth, the potential of what those lessons were. And so for me, those three fundamental values of gratitude, empathy, forgiveness, and accountability allow me to take control of my mindset. The second thing that we need to take control of is our heart set. People forget we have control of the way we feel. And I'm going to talk about, as we finish up, I will talk about practicing ending fear, controlling the way we feel by being a ferocious Buddha. We have complete feeling control. In fact, if you look at the ego-based consciousness, the primal consciousness of ego, which is, you know, the flight, feed, fear, those types, the procreation, which starts with an F as well. All of those different primal Freudian fears. And more importantly, if you look at the secondary fears that we have when we're trying to control our feelings, the need to be right, the need to be offended, the need to be separate, the need to be inferior, superior, the need to worry, the need to feel guilty, the need to be resentful, all of these needs. Imagine if you aggregated the time, emotions, the energy, and the money that you wasted and relationships you destroyed through this type of heart set. Imagine how much abundance and productivity and accessibility and gratitude would exist today if we learned to practice ending that. Now, we can't get rid of it. If I could create an invention or an innovation, people ask me all the time, if there's a great entrepreneur, if I could have a great innovation, what would it be? For me, it would be the egoectomy. If I could remove the ego, I think we could create a completely abundant world together and a completely happy world. I don't think that's possible scientifically today, and I don't have that power. But what I do have the power is to change the amount of time of heart set that people spend wasting. Meaning, I used to spend days, weeks, months, years in ego, with guilt and resentment and offense and inferiority and superior, all the wasted emotion, time, and money that I had. Now I spend minutes and moments, and I coach and train and empower other people to simply to spend minutes and moments in those ego-based consciousness, the wasteful energy that we have. And so for me, the third thing that we have control of our mindset, our heart set. The last is we have control of our conscious. And the conscious starts with the data input. We have to realize that our senses, the way we see, smell, hear, touch, and taste, are inaccurate. And even worse, those senses rely on our memories, right? Everything we see is involved with a past perception that we attribute a meaning to what we're seeing. And so therefore, we need to take control of the data input. And so I've created a cancel, clear, connect process that tells me I do not want to surround myself with the wrong people or the wrong ideas. If I have a bad idea, I cancel it. If I meet a bad person, I either let them fall away from me or fire them from my life. I have a great chain of feeding. If you feed me, I'll feed you. If you don't, you'll in varying degrees fall away from me. And if you bleed me, I'll fire you. And so I think it's really important that we take control of our mindset, our heart set, and of course, our collective conscious, our own inputs that we're taking by canceling, clearing, connecting any of the negativity that we would input into this glorious system that we've been given. Now, to finish up here, before we take some questions, I want to go through 5 daily practices that will help people to implement this. I'm very theoretical and spiritual, but I'm very pragmatic. I'm a self-conflictual person. I'm an oxymoron. I actually went to Occidental College probably for that coincidence, because I'm probably one of the most spiritual, energetic people, yet I'm also probably one of the most OCD, pragmatic, hard-hitting business people that you meet that is math and technology oriented. So let me give you 5 pragmatic ways. If you're not aligned or in the frequency of the woo-woo mindset, heart set, and consciousness, then hear me out with some daily practices that will align you with what I'm teaching on the spiritual side of things. Number one, take inventory of your values every day. Every day. Don't be afraid of being a hypocrite. So many people are afraid to say, I don't know what I don't know. I'm the biggest hypocrite you'll ever meet. I'm learning every day. What I told you yesterday, I may not agree with today. And that's just the truth. Why? Because I take inventory of my personal values every day, what's important to me personally, my experiential values, what do I want to experience, my giving values, how much productivity do I want to have of service and solutions for others? And of course, the hardest one, my receiving values. How can I feel good about receiving in order to allow things to come through me, not to me like a victim or for me buying things I don't need to impress people I don't like, but through me giving my life away in abundance, that there's more than enough of everything for everyone. If you take inventory of your values, you will know your what. Every day, not being afraid of being a hypocrite and saying to everyone, hey, you know what? I'm on a journey of lessons. I'm enjoying the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of my potential. I'm on a journey of learning these lessons, expanding, growing, and accelerating. And guess what? I was full of shit yesterday. I didn't know what I didn't know, but I'm still learning and growing. And so here I am today, and this is what I want today. Don't worry about your why. When you know your what and your who, your why will follow automatically. And most people, almost everyone, your why is just to help somebody with something. So if you know your what and your who, you'll know what your why is. Trust me. So don't search for the why without knowing the what and the who, which ironically leads us to the second daily practice. After we have inventory of our values and know our what, let's find out our who. Why do we want to know our who? Because the easiest way to get to what we want, once we know our what, is to find someone who is sitting in the situation that we want to be in. In other words, the easiest way to get somewhere is to find someone that's already there and ask them for directions. People are not radically humble. One of the most common questions I get is, what would you tell your 18-year-old self, 28, 38, 48-year-old self? I'll tell you what it is. Ask. The two most powerful things that I've ever learned in life, I learned before I was 3 years old. Number one, my mom, grandma, aunts, and uncles all told me, you got to say thank you. Say thank you before you go to bed. And when you wake up, you'll change your life. I guarantee it. You do it for 30 days. I guarantee it'll start infiltrating the mindset that you have in your subconscious. But moreover, they also told me one more thing before I was 3. Okay, sweetie, ask. Don't forget to ask. Somehow along the line, we have figured out that we can do it ourselves. You know what? I can't pay your state taxes. I can't pay your federal taxes. But I promise you, I can pay your dummy tax, because I've paid over $100 million in dummy tax. And I'm here to tell you the way to pay it is to ask for help from someone that sits in the situation that you want to be in. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, let me get a little bit more granular and pragmatic for you. Ask in person, on the phone, via email, and media, traditional and social, ask one thing. Do you know anyone that can help me? Remember, people are not gatekeepers. One branch does not go to war against another branch. Everyone is a sponsor or a power sponsor, which means they can either help you or they know someone that could help you or both. So treat everyone as a sponsor or a power sponsor. Ask for help. The third thing is to be a student of our calendars. A student is someone who utilizes that mathematical equation of luck, which means if we pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences that we want, what we have planned, what we don't have planned, and don't forget our sleep. My tomorrow starts today. I have an unwinding routine, which is my warm up to sleep, which is the most important habit that we all share, 6 to 8 hours a day. And I unwind at 9 p.m. today to start my day tomorrow. Why? Because I don't want to live the myth of Sisyphus. If you've read Camus' Myth of Sisyphus, you know that most people live their lives by pushing a boulder to the top of the hill just to have it roll to the bottom. Not me. I use my unwinding routine and my sleep so that I plateau and grow, that I start tomorrow at my highest frequency. I register that baseline through meditation in order to plateau and grow each day to expand, accelerate, and enjoy the compound interest that's created by that aggregate effect of consistent, persistent behavior. You need to be a student of your calendar. Look at life through a lens of productivity, of how much value you can provide to others, accessibility, how accessible we are to others, and receiving, how accessible are we to what we want, how are we accessing what we want, and of course, gratitude, the steering wheel of perception, allowing us to find the light, the love, and the lessons in everything. The fourth thing is a statistic. And I hate statistics. In fact, the only statistic I really loved was 99% of all statistics are made up. But this statistic is true. 100% of the things you do now get done. And the difference between successful people and others is successful people get things done. So simply ask yourself, can I do it now? And if you can do it now, do it. Become exponentially more successful. Become statistically more successful. Become much more efficient by doing things now. And if you can't do it now, according to the values that you took inventory in step one, then simply put it into your calendar, prioritize it utilizing Roosevelt's matrix of importance versus urgency, and find a priority for that activity, whether it's planned, unplanned, or even can be accessed in your sleep. But do things now. And then finally, before I take some Q&A, remember the fifth and most important practice, the one journey that I'm on my entire life, the one that has changed my paradigm of receiving, that I don't give to receive, but I receive to give. I am living in an abundant world of more than enough, not in a world of just enough or not enough, a world of more than enough of everything for everyone coming through me by what? Clearing the interference, connections, voids, and shortages in my life by practicing ending fear. And there's four steps in that real quickly. Number one, identify what you're afraid of. Do you have a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful? Do you have a fear that you're not going to eat? Are you living in a fear that you might not procreate or ever find the love of your life? Are these your fears? If so, don't allow them to get in your way. Realize that your free will, once you identify, is very simply achieved to clear that connection by number one, just stop. Don't resist it. Don't go around it, over and under it. There's a key called breathing. And if you can stop when you identify what you're afraid of and drop to your higher frequency, that's right, I didn't misspeak, drop to a higher frequency. What is that higher frequency that we drop down to? The higher frequency is called neutral, center. We find our center, a clear connection to the greatest source of power, light, and lessons of unbelievable acknowledgement and recollection and remembrance by using gratitude, empathy, accountability, and inspiration in spirit, living as a ferocious Buddha, which needs to identify, stop, drop, and then we can roll according to our values that we took inventory in the right direction without wasting time, without wasting emotion, without wasting money in relationships, as we all have done. Spend minutes and moments in the ego-based consciousness. Let's all enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential by being gracious, forgiving, and accountable, living inspired with the five daily practices of taking inventory of our values, asking and attracting, being a student of our calendar, doing it now, and most importantly, practicing ending fear. And if you can do that, I know that you can empower yourself and empower others to be happy And if you can be happy and empower others to be happy, of course, that'll make me happy. Thank you, Samantha, and the rest of the group for this opportunity. I'm more than happy to answer some questions.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, David. That was really beautiful. So first up, we have Kim Walsh Phillips. She is an incredible entrepreneur who is a servant leader and also really engaged in just helping people find their voice, their mission, their purpose, and really get out in front. Kim, you're welcome to ask your question, David.
Yeah, awesome. That was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all those incredible nuggets. And I've followed you online for a while, and I know about your heart is leading this phase of your life, right? You're in the legacy phase, which is fantastic. And so I want to ask you a question about something that my audience struggles with, because we deal with a lot of legacy builders, and that you have, I noticed you offer free content every Friday, which is amazing, but that you guys also have a paid consulting group. So where for you is that line versus like, here's how we offer the free part. This is when you flip it over to the paid, because that's something that's always one of the biggest questions my audience comes to me with.
And it was the biggest challenge for me until I created a platform that helps. And so everything I do, so I have private paid groups, that are as inexpensive as $25 a month, all the way up to, you know, chairmen of the top 10 companies in the world that I consult for. Every one of them work within the same context. And here's how it works for me. I only work month to month. I guarantee profitability. So I mitigate all risk of value. So I've converted my value ask into a profit center. So for any reason at all, including you don't like my hair, which if you have any taste, most of you probably don't, but I'm just lucky to have it. If you, for any reason at all, have a challenge, you need your money back, I sit in a place of peace and profitability that I guarantee profitability. I don't lock anybody into anything at all. I'm kind of the Nordstrom's of consulting and coaching and mentoring. And if you can't even afford the monthly rate, then I give free content every day. I give my books for free. I pay for shipping. I sign them and send them. I have exercises, guides. I have training courses that are recorded for free. And I do free trainings every Friday, so that there is enough out there for those who need more intimate attention, then I need to guarantee profitability. Therefore, I've taken myself from the realm of receiving to the realm of giving.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great question, Kim.
And next we have Mary. Miriam, she is an incredible leader. She's now really looking at the art of Kintsugi, that art of pulling. And I wanted her to really speak with you because it's about that synergy, that alignment, bringing communities together and helping people harness the strength of the path that they've been given to lead their path forward. So Mary, go ahead and unmute.
What a pleasure. First of all, David, I mean, I was drinking every word that you spoke. You spoke directly to my heart in every single thing that I believe in. As far as mindset comes, I feel that I am 100% aligned with what you said, which I consider the truth. When you spoke about assessing values, I do that, and I feel goosebumps when I know that I am on the right track. But what's happening and what I'm noticing is that we are working so much on mindset, and then it comes to the point of the technicalities of converting everything that we believe in into reality. So I have a fashion brand that is focused on healing. All my clothing are inspired by the Japanese art of Kintsugi. And when COVID happened, I said, okay, let's pivot, right? And because business became very hard in retail and clothing and people weren't shopping, but my message and my value is to inspire and empower women to know that they're able to mend their pieces back together, and they can heal and they can grow and they can live beautiful, fulfilling lives. I wrote a book, and I created a course, and all Kintsugi related. The course teaches and shows how the steps of Kintsugi lead somebody to healing. So after this long introduction, here is my question. How do we go from being in this perfect mindset, being an action taker, but then being limited by funding, by the right contacts, by in you mentioned, you know, ask people, the world will come. And I believe in all of that. And I actually took a course about abundance because I had every single block when it talks about, you know, believing that the world is going to bring to you what you need to come out. But at the end of the day, there are simple questions. If I want to sell my course, I need people to know about my course. I need to invest thousands of dollars in marketing every month. What if I don't have it? So please help me with that.
This is a very, very common issue. Number one, I love your shirt. So your taste is exquisite. Cannot beat that. We all are inspired in spirit and connected. This is one of the most common questions because it deals with a blend that's very difficult to understand. And that blend is this ferocious Buddha attitude. How can I be so persistent, impatient, aggressive to build what I know is right for the betterment of all in an abundant perspective, but yet be patient and allow it to happen and have faith? Well, let me help, because this is an issue that is an emotional issue and a perspective issue, because we actually create resistance by attaching our emotions to an outcome, by wanting something to happen too fast. And the reason is, time's a man-made construct. And when we start to blend in man-made constructs to a higher frequency, a higher currency, like money is a currency, an object of energy you put into the flow to get what you want, but faith is a higher currency. And in the respect here, allowance is a higher currency to your own persistent perfection and pursuit. And so what I do is tend to take someone back and say, let's start our day by saying, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, right? In a universe of abundance, I need nothing. If I needed anything, I wouldn't be here. So reminding ourselves at the beginning of the day that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be at the right way at the perfect time. Now, once I know that, I'm going to give everything that I have, my heart, my body, my soul. I'm going to take inventory of my values, act on a track, be a student in my calendar, do it now, practice ending fear to be the efficient, effective, statistically successful, utilizing the power of 64, all the different pragmatic rules, the think and grow rich things, whatever, you know, you books and philosophies and strategies that you can do all day long, all your energy, you're going to angle to what you want. Enough money to market your product, enough people, right? And now's where we change the philosophy. So here we're ferocious about what we're doing, but yet within the context of that velocity, we have to overwhelm ourselves with one thing, faith. Faith that we're going to end up somewhere better. Like so many different times, we limit ourselves. We create resistance voids and shortages. You talked about healing. You know, my perspective of healing is I start by telling someone, you are healed. Let's figure out what's interfering with your healed, right? Let's figure out what's interfering. And so I want you to shift your perspective, Mary, to what's interfering with the connection that you have to everything that you want. Because that's where your free will, your ferociousness should be, you know, looking at is what is causing the interference, the voids, the shortages between me and what already exists, which is everything that you want, enough money, enough clients, and the allowance coming with faith combined with that ferocious behavior, you'll find that things will come more rapidly and more accurately, and you'll end up somewhere better than you ever dreamed of. Does that sound fair?
Yes, and I know you spoke to me because the first thing you mentioned was about patience, and I believe that I am always tested in that arena. So I know that your words came from above.
They come through me, not for me. So thank you. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you like. My only ask is you help me empower others to empower others to be happy.